whatever happened on Game of Thrones, even though you tried to steal one of mine.
I did not. I like came up with brilliant things, and then you're like,
Catfish published his list, even though none of us asked for
published.
It.
Published. Hold on.
Like,
is this HarperCollins who published this? I want peer review.
I published it.
He broke the story, man.
Mine was in the notes first. Mine was published first.
Wrong.
Go to the Hall of Records.
Delightfully dreadful.
But I'm going to unpublish his list. So mine will be first.
Well,
you can't
okay.
unpublish his published email.
I'm unpublishing it.
They have two special guests who to josh around with each other, like to fight over lists, like to decide who came up with the take first. I love them. They're my friends. They're over at Double P Media. Folks, you've got to subscribe to every Double P Media podcast. I'm not kidding. If you do not, I will find you on the internet and I will call you mean names. It doesn't matter whether you're on Twitter, whether you're on Instagram. I will call you mean names. Mean names like non-Double P subscriber. And I'll do it with all caps and exclamation points because that's what works for Donald Trump.
Wow.
Please welcome Bubba and Catfish from the Joffrey Podcast. It's been a long time since they've been talking about any of the Game of Thrones universe, and I am so happy to have them back to talk about the top five most horrific moments in Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon. Bubba, first question for you in terms of House of the Dragon goes.
Yeah.
You know, probably because you are a connoisseur of the source material from George, that there are some horrific things coming up in season two.
Yeah.
Don't say them.
First episode.
But there are some horrific things coming.
First episode, yeah. No, there are horrific things coming.
First episode.
Finally.
Yeah. Catfish, you are not a connoisseur of George R. R. Martin's supplementary materials. I don't even know if you've read all the way through the proper five books of A Song of Ice and Fire yet. Have you?
No.
Okay, well,
I'm on strike. As long as he's on strike, I'm on strike.
Gotcha. Well, that might explain why you're playing a different game than the rest of us with your list. But we're going to talk about that right now as we get into the top five most horrific moments of Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon.
Top five.
Oh, I guess I should explain the rules. Possibly I should do that. We did have a couple of disqualifiers, folks.
Oh, come on.
I know. That makes it no fun. And it makes it a wonder that Catfish's list survived at all. But these are the disqualifiers. There is nothing in our list that involves any scene involving the rape of anybody. I hope. I mean, I don't know their list completely, but I hope that's the case. This is a disqualifier. It doesn't matter if it's a no-name wildling or all the way up to named characters. We all understand that rape is one of the most horrific things ever portrayed on this show, and it goes way above the frivolity of the list that we're putting out today.
Or frivolity.
Frivolity works as well. So the acknowledgement of the Joffrey podcast also is that we understand that Joffrey was the greatest character who was ever written, ever lived. I mean, let's face it, so good that he lived. This is what the Joffrey podcast on Double P Media is all about. And so we understand that we have to take certain scenes of Joffrey out of our lists as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not the least of which to mention is, of course, the strangling of Joffrey by Sansa, because we all know it was actually Sansa, right? No? Okay. Anyway, we want to make sure that we leave all the Joffrey stuff off, because he, again, is way above the frivolity of our lists, or the frivolity, or the frivolity. We want to make sure that we have disclosed that. Also, third thing, just so everybody knows, we understand that all lists are subjective. My kind of horror list is my kind of horror list. I don't like horror, but I made a list anyway. Catfish's kind of horror list is pretty sunny. Bubba's version of horror is, I don't know what it is, because I haven't checked his list lately. But We all have different ideas of what horror means, and we want to know what your idea of horror means as well. On socials and on YouTube, let me know what were your top five most horrific moments of the series so far. We're going to start with Bubba. We're going to let you go first with your number five.
Number five.
Well, I'm already going to cheat and combine a couple of things. Can you believe it? The most horrific thing is be cheating this horrific list. And so I'm going to go with, I just couldn't choose. The honesty is I wanted to pick something from House of the Dragon with the new season about to start here in June of 2024. And so I was trying to pick which horrific thing from that show really affected me the most. So for my number five pick, I thought about House of the Dragon. What were the most horrific things in it? And I honestly thought it was either episode one's horrific birthing scene or the final episode 10's horrific birthing scene. They're both horrific. They're both tragic. But because one involved the pregnant woman standing up without asking for help, accepting any help while the baby fell out of it, that's the runner-up. The winner is Emma's birthing scene from the first episode. And Viserys, who I think most people watched the first season of House of the Dragon and thought he was a likable character, but he was in a terrible position, and in some ways maybe he made a terrible decision, even worse by his actions, but Emma's birthing scene that produced the heir for a day, that was horrific, and I know it affected a lot of people, and it affected me. That's my number five choice.
All right, and here Catfish and I were quibbling about whether you would steal any of his, and you stole my number five as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You got something right.
Let me just throw on the back of this now, Bubba. I'll throw on the back of you. For me, okay. It's actually just about Emma's perspective, because my list is, like I said, more psychological for me. But to see that her husband has consented to this, that she's struggling against it, and he's not doing anything to defend her, to see the life go out of her eyes as the blood comes out, that was horrific to me. I couldn't shake that for like the rest of the season. That one stuck with me that much. And I know everybody was talking about it, so I know I'm not alone, and you aren't alone, Bubba, but man, that really got me. And that leaves us with Catfish for the number five. Now, Catfish, you're obviously in sunny Hawaii.
I got the beach behind me. I got the palm trees blowing in the breeze. And you know what? I'm tired of horrible things. We got enough horror going on in this world. So I am going to do a different list. I'm going to do my top five most heartwarming moments from Game of Thrones. And I'm going to do them mostly chronologically, except some are better than others. So the number five most heartwarming moment is when Jaime gave Bran flying lessons. He just met this kid, and he's already letting him know that he can soar in this world. Fly, Bran, fly. Set a lot of things in motion.
Right.
It was the very first episode, and it just made me feel like right away, like this guy, Jaime, he cares.
Well, Catfish, since you are playing an entirely different game than us, why don't you give us your number four?
Number four.
Number four. All right. Again, now this is the end of the first season. The beginning of the first season, we had a heartwarming moment. Near the end of the first season, we get another heartwarming moment, and that is when sanctimonious Ned Stark gets his head chopped off. There was a lot. I talked to people who had never read any Game of Thrones, and they had no idea this was coming, and they wouldn't stop talking about it. And it just showed how much of a crowd pleaser that Game of Thrones would be. So number four heartwarming moment, Ned's head.
Wow. Man.
Oh,
yeah, ouch. Catfish, you had one job. And you're doing great at it so far.
Number four.
Bubba, how about your number four?
Oh, wow. My number four. Okay, so horrific. This is something that it's so terrible you can't watch the screen. You don't want to keep reading in the book. This is, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, a show invention. But at the beginning of season four, the first episode of season four, entitled Two Swords, Arya and the Hound are traveling through the Riverland. Arya and the Hound accidentally end up in an inn because she sees her sword Needle with Polliver there at the inn. And so, long story short, we get to a big fight between the Hound and Polliver's Lannister soldiers. And Arya admittedly comes in at the end to help win this fight between them. But the Hound is having a horrific fight. And he and this guy are fighting and they're down on the floor and they're wrestling. And suddenly this kind of short dirk, the short dagger, is in somebody's hand, actually the Lannister soldier's hand. And the Hound grabs the guy's hand and points the sword right near his face. And then the Hound grabs the top of the guy's head. And the guy's like, no, don't. And the Hound slams the guy's head into his own sword. It was gross. It was horrific. What am I watching? This never happened on Dream On. Why did I subscribe to HBO? That was horrific.
Excellent choice, Bubba. Excellent choice. For mine, I'm probably launching some of these a little faster on you guys, and you'll hate me for stealing yours. Catfish, be sure to lodge your complaint when the time mm-hmm. arrives. I am going with season 5, episode 8, Hard Home, for this moment.
Oh, wow.
And it is Carsey letting the children whites eat her. She gives up. She just crosses her arms and gives up because she can't bring herself to kill kids, even if they're dead already. And they just, as we've seen whites do, they just start gnawing on things. The camera quickly pulls away, but that has stuck with me. Just imagine the horror. I'm wondering, and I never got the answer to this. Maybe you guys can answer this for me.
Yeah.
Was one of those children hers? Is
no,
that
no,
why
no.
She
remember,
was
her,
to
she
fight?
Put two children in one of those rafts that was bringing the wildlings out to Stannis' boats. And they're like, come with us, mother. And she said to the two kids, I'll be right behind you. But first, I got to go die. Whoops, no, she didn't say that second part, but that's what ended up happening. So technically, they weren't her kids, or, you know, they may have been playdate friends of her kids, but her kids, I'm pretty sure we see in the next episode, Tormund kind of holding them and leading them through the gate in the wall at Castle Black. So that's the way understood it. So let's go around. Matt, I think that is a great horrific moment in an episode I know people love. It's interesting to be talking about these horrific moments in episodes people love. The one I just mentioned, Two Swords, the beginning of season four. A lot of people love that episode. But let's go to a moral question, though, since you're mentioning this is horrific and you kind of framed Carsey's death as giving up. So is it noble to not attack a child, even if that child is an undead zombie? Or is it bad to kind of give up and not fight for life? What do you think,
Excellent
Matt?
Question.
You call it horrific. Is it horrific because she quit, or is it horrific because she was given no good options? Why was it horrific?
Well, for me, again, it's the psychology of it all. Mm-hmm. It's the fact that her, you know, it bleeds into my brain that she can't get that out of hers. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it horrific for me. Yes, I think that she does give up. And I don't think that that's noble at all in any way, shape, or form. But to me, it's still just as scary. What about you, Catfish?
I mean, I'm all about saving your own life over just about anything.
You can't save anybody else's life if you haven't saved your own.
That's right. Grab your oxygen mask first, Matt.
Oh, the Delta stewardesses hate Carsey, apparently. Now I, you know, this is one thing I think I said in our podcast about Hard Home, and I know I said it about season 6, episode 10 of Game of Thrones, that Winds of Winter episode, because Pycelle did what Carsey wasn't willing to do. Pycelle saw a bunch of kids who wanted to kill him, and he just started punching first. And, you know, I would be like, I've said it a million times, be like Pycelle. also, you know, you can never be too ready. So a lot of times I just walk over to the local elementary school and start punching just in case.
Good move.
Thank you. Take that, Garcia.
Yes. Don't worry. We will not report you to child services.
Oh, I will. Already reported.
Yeah, many of the things we're saying on this podcast have so far been more horrific than the actual events we're listening.
Than the actual moments, right, exactly. Yeah. Speaking of horrific moments, Bubba, why don't you go on number three?
Number three.
So my number three most horrific thing, and earlier we talked about, we had a disqualifier. We didn't want to specifically get into sexual assault scenes. And so this is a bit of a cheat because we don't see anything, we suspect, but we don't know. But I was just a second ago speaking about season 6, episode 10, The Winds of Winter. And in that episode, once again, an episode people love at that Game of Thrones convention that we all went to, people rated it the best episode of Game of Thrones entirely, season 6, episode 10. But when you talk about horrific, the Septa's fate that Cersei leaves her to, when the Sept has already been blown up, the High Sparrow, the Tyrells, everybody's gone. And then suddenly we cut to the Septa tied to a table. Cersei is waterboarding her, wineboarding her. And then Cersei invites in the Mountain to come in and say hello and pretty much shame her. That is chilling. That is horrific. That reminds me of several spring breaks. And so it was horrific.
Bubba.
Yeah.
The thing that I keep thinking about this, and I know you're saying that this kind of skirts the line as to one of our disqualifiers.
It does.
Yeah. But I always think of the Mountain actually not doing anything sexual with her at all. Just taking big bites out of her one at a time.
Yes, horrific. Horrific. Is it horrific that they leave it to our imagination? You know, earlier I was talking about those birthing scenes from House of the Dragon or the Hound ramming somebody's face into a upturned knife, which was horrific. This, we didn't actually see the things. Our imaginations sadly go to very dark places and make it horrific. So that is my number three option.
Dedicated to George R.R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire book series.
Is he ever going to do anything? Just stands there and looks menacing. Give me something, Frank and Gregor. That's my question. What are you going
to
do?
Okay, first of all, as the work continues, he's managed to sit up very suddenly.
And the HBO Game of Thrones franchises.
And
he's going through therapy. Good point. He's doing occupational therapy to get back to work. Good point.
I mean, the guy's been productive. He's been productive.
Don't tell me what to do.
Going to, and again, it's funny. A lot of the great stuff I have, it's from the first season, but also the later seasons. Nothing really from the middle. Going a little bit backwards. Season 1, episode 6. You see, the thing about Game of Thrones is not a lot of people achieve their ambitions. They fall short. They die. Horrible things happen to them. But one of the great things that happened was in season 1, episode 6, a lifelong dream is fulfilled when Viserys gets his golden crown. Finally, he dies happy and fulfilled with his goal achieved.
Catfish, I thought you said your items were heartwarming. This is a head.
Yes, this is
a head warming.
Well, I would imagine some of the gold got on there, made the heart quite warm.
It was heartwarming to me. It was head warming for him. He achieved his dream.
So is it my number three?
Yes.
You might as well.
I mean, nobody should want to follow these or listen to them. But yes, it's your number three.
All right. So Ramsay's face becomes dog food is my number three.
Whoa.
Season 6, episode 9, Battle of the Bastards. I'll tell you why it horrifies me more. I love dogs, so I don't have a problem with dogs. But it's just the idea of a starving dog and the fact that the first bite is right on the face. On top of that, it made me scared as to what Sansa would do. I mean, anything was possible after that. Sansa, I'm not saying that she didn't deserve her agency, but my God, She might do anything after that happens. And well, that was the thing that was horrifying for me, was seeing this precious little girl who got raped 5 episodes earlier suddenly becoming a killer.
I mean, you say, who knows what she was going to do next? I know there was not much she would be able to do with him. Yeah. Because there wasn't much left of him except for in stool samples.
Bubba has questions, and now here's Bubba.
Man, horrific, horrific. Now, that is a moment, it may be the first horrific moment, which if you showed that to an audience, people would clap. Matt, you're choosing a horrific moment, which I'm pretty sure Catfish and I watched in a theater live for the first time with Academy members. They were trying to win an Emmy off this episode. And when this horrific thing happened, people clapped. Matt, people evil for having clapped at this horrific moment?
All I'm going to say to this, Bubba, is that here you are on this very strict horror and, quite frankly, offensive horror with your list. Here's Catfish on the other side with the happy horror. He's the happy guy. Yeah. And so I'm just trying to strike a medium. I found a moment that horrified me that also delighted audiences everywhere.
Okay.
Well done.
Catfish, it's your turn. Number two.
Number two.
All right. Well, like I say, people don't get a lot on this show. They don't achieve their objectives. No. Lot of really bad parenting on this show. Just really inappropriate. Also, entirely inappropriate family relationships. But the parents not great either. So my number two is from season 5, episode 9, when Shireen was cold and her father warmed her up. That was not just heartwarming, but an entire body-warming moment.
That scream from that poor little girl haunts me to this day.
Of joy. Finally, it's the long winter is about to set in, and the only one who's warm is Shireen.
Catfish, that's a step too far. Bubba, back me up. Catfish has gone a step too far.
There was a line, and Catfish erased the line and then ran, you know, like 50 yards past where he had erased it.
And then I drew another one, and then I passed that one.
That was
one.
Good. That was good. You know, he's replace your work. That's good.
Bubba, how about your number two?
Okay. It is with a heavy heart that we talk about these next two items because they're very controversial. So this is going to season 8, episode 5, the end of episode 5. Danny goes into King's Landing. The bells have rung. The episode is titled The Bells. Danny has won. But if you don't enjoy a victory, is it a victory? And she hadn't felt fulfilled from this victory. And so she went a little funny. She just went a little funny in the head. And she liberated the city. I called it Daenerys's Operation Desert Storm. And what she did to King's Landing was horrific. It was something that was supposed to shock us. It was meant to shock us, but it was meant to shock us in a way that redefined a character we all thought we had known for 5 years, 6 years. And so a lot of people didn't accept it, but the reality is it is horrific. Now, this whole point of this kind of series and scenes goes back to a line I know George R. R. Martin is very proud that he wrote. It was in season 3. Jorah was talking to Daenerys. He's like, there's a beast in the heart of every man, and he comes alive when there's a sword in his hand. And, you know, a weapon can turn people to beasts. And of course, Daenerys with her dragons had the ultimate weapon. And so it's kind of a theme he's trying to get at. But whether you loved that moment as a validation of that line, or whether you hated that moment and thought it ruined the show, I think everybody has to accept it was meant to be horrific. And what's funny is, it as shocking as it could be, it was horrific as it could be. And for some people, it cast a dark shadow over the entire city, over the city of King's Landing. I mean, over the entire series. So that is my number two most horrific thing. And yes, people, I have something that for me was actually even more horrific than that.
Matt, let's hear it.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going old school here.
Oh.
As I've said before, I'm not a big horror fan. Mm. I said that earlier in this podcast.
But we weren't listening, so repeat it.
You know, yes, I'm not a horror fan.
Thank you.
Nobody is ever listening to me.
Oh.
So I honestly almost didn't continue watching Game of Thrones after the cold opening. The very first cold opening of season one, when it's the series premiere. I watched that scene and I said, is this just going to be a horror show? Because I don't really want to watch a horror show. I'm not sure that I really want to watch this. Took a little bit. It took Ned trying to tell everybody why he needs to cut Will's head off.
Yeah.
And it took Bran falling out a window, one of Catfish's moments. That's what told me, okay, I'm sticking around. I'm sticking in this. I hadn't read any of the books or anything, but I was really on the fence for most of the whole first episode because of that cold open. I was like, that creepy girl with those creepy blue eyes. I was just like, do I really want to do this?
Hmm.
I don't know. So that's my number two.
So let me ask you this, Matt. So you had not read the books before the first season.
I didn't start reading the books until after the first season.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I was just wondering, because after having read the book, it's obvious that, you know, this is not going to be that kind of horror show. It's going to be a completely different kind of horror show. So
it was a zombie show. It was completely a horror show. They told us from the very beginning that it was a zombie show.
Yes, but not really a horror show. I mean, for me, it's...
Well, it wasn't Ash versus the Evil Dead, I can tell you that.
No, it wasn't that. For me, I was the whole first episode, I was waiting for the puppies to show up, because that's how excited I was. I was like, I can't wait to see what the puppies look like.
Puppies. Yeah, okay.
Matt, I have a question, and you know, I've been listening to your whole list, and I've been wondering, are you a horror fan?
Okay.
That was a good dig. We're leaving that one in.
Dedicated to George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire book series.
Clearly you all didn't listen to my two Aria podcasts.
And the HBO Game of Thrones franchises.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, we listened. We just didn't agree.
Don't tell me what to do.
We're down to our number one.
Number one.
Matt, you have never gone first in this. Well, you know what? Let's go to Catfish, because his is heartwarming. That's a bit of a different list. Sure.
We gotta set everybody up before me and you drag them down.
Right. That's a good point.
All right. So once again, we have a beautiful moment where someone is soaring through the air. But unfortunately, Jamie wasn't there to teach him how to do it. That's right. I managed to get our boy Joffrey in here, because it was when Tommen flew because he realized he was no Joffrey. And so therefore, he was a failure.
Mm.
So he had to go. He gone.
He was Icarus. Icarus. He flew too close to the sun in that he jumped and kept falling farther away from the sun.
It just went right down to the ground. He flew to, you know what? It wasn't flying too close to the sun that hurt him. It was flying too close to the ground.
Right, that really hurt him.
Okay. I feel like one of the things that makes that moment so happy and yet so horrific is that Tommen had the presence of mind
mm-hmm.
to put the crown away before jumping. Don't mm-hmm. dent that thing.
Well, don't no, it's because he knew he didn't deserve it because...
He had to get as far away from it as possible. Yeah.
It was Joffrey's. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Bubba.
Yeah.
Bring us down. What's your number one?
Well, I'm glad you're going to go last, Matt, because I think when people and listeners, we want to hear your horrific list, which is an odd thing to say, but we do want to hear everybody's thoughts on these horrific events. But I admit my number one may not be close to anybody's number one. I think if you're listening to this and trying to make your own list, I'm willing to bet no other person would list this as the most horrific thing. But when you said you wanted to cover this on this podcast, this was the first thing that popped into my mind. And so I was trying to think, why would this be the thing that popped into my mind? And we talk about horrific things. You, on your list, we've already mentioned about how you have Ramsay being eaten by those dogs and how that's horrific. But of course, in the context, a lot of people were cheering and saying, yay. A lot right. of times when these horrific events happen, there isn't like cutaway shots to somebody saying, this is horrific, this is terrible. And so I really remember these cutaway shots when this happened, kind of the reaction shots of other characters there in these scenes. And so that's why I thought of it first when you asked and said, hey, let's talk about the most horrific moments of Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon. And so this is season 2, episode 1, The North Remembers. And it's near the end of that episode, and that is the slaying of King Robert's bastards. It begins in Littlefinger's brothel, where a woman has been brought out, and she has a baby, an infant. This is an infant, and that evil SOB, Janos Slynt, is telling his gold cloaks, kill it, kill it. And the first gold cloak is like, this is a baby. You want me to kill an infant? This is horrific. Janos Slynt doesn't care. He slaughters it. And in that gold cloak saying, you know, I won't do it, Slynt doing it, the mother's anguished scream is so powerful. Then we cut to a montage of Robert's bastards being slayed. And one of the scenes just shows another, bloody dead baby being held. And we cut to a reaction shot of one of the gold cloaks who looks disgusted and who looks horrified by what's going on. And so those reaction shots to the horrific things that the people there in King's Landing were witnessing, those reactions are why I thought of this when you talked about the most horrific moments. So I'm going to go with the bastard baby's death. And admittedly, there were other children being slaughtered as well as the most horrific thing, or at least the thing that came to my mind when you said name a horrific moment in Game of Thrones.
Mm.
Bubba, this is so brave of you. This is so brave of you to speak of this fragility here, because I think one thing that we can all acknowledge is that there's a real conflict of interest here. We understand that Joffrey was merely trying to protect his throne. We understand that he had to do this, but he had to do some horrible things to do this.
Even that, I think, is remember, there is a debate in the fandom about who ordered these horrific events. And George R. R. Martin came out and said, it's Cersei. P.S. I won't finish these books ever, which was an odd thing for him to add to the question that had been asked about who ordered the death of Robert's bastards. So Queen Cersei, the Queen Mother, made a terrible mistake thinking she was helping Joffrey when it really riled up the citizens of King's Landing later on in season 2. So that is I don't think anybody else would come to mind, because it maybe doesn't feature a lot of known characters in horrific situations, but that's my number one.
So my number one.
Your number one. Mm-hmm. This is it. This is, once again, Catfishes warmed our hearts. Mine, mm-hmm. Was an odd left field choice. Matt, you represent the true A Song of Ice and Fire fans. You have to come with the most horrific moment of all. Let's hear it.
No, I don't. I don't have to at all. Okay. I'm playing Inception here. I'm playing mind within a mind within a mind order.
Okay.
All right, let's hear it.
Yeah.
All right, so my number one is season 6, episode 5, The Door, when Hodor is holding the door, the wights are coming through. And here's the most horrific part about it. Brand is kind of in this warging, also time-skipping kind of state. And so he skipped back into time to the one place where he can seemingly control Hodor enough to make him run. Think about the setup of this. Hodor doesn't want to leave when they're trying to run from the Whites. He doesn't want to leave because he knows from his childhood what's going to happen to him. He's remembered his own death so many times that hold the door just becomes Hodor. And it's the only thing he can say because he has seen the own end of his life from the time that he is that age. The whole idea of just that, the fingers scraping and even the look, the horror look on Brand's face when he realized what's happened, when he realizes that he's closed that time loop. To me, that was absolutely horrifying and emotional, of course, but absolutely horrifying to me. I was just like, man, that took a long way to get there. Is that one of the things that George told Dave and Dan about?
Yes. When the show creators Dave and Dan went to George R. Martin and said, we're going to finish the series before you will, the he told them, you know, the outline of what was going to happen, and there were three things that shocked them, and one of those was this tragic story, you know, death and origin story of Hodor.
It's brilliant. That is definitely brilliant for sure, and very affecting. You know, if I was going to do, though, the horrible things,
yeah,
I would have definitely had in my top five the Red Viper.
Yes.
Way to go. I mean, you think you got it, you're in charge, you got it all, and then all of a sudden, youch. Somebody with very dirty thumbs shoves them right into your brain.
Well, you say if you're going to go out. What if I told you that this is, you're going to pass, and the love of your life is going to be very right there with you, in that you're going to have an audience of the most esteemed people in the country are going to be there watching you pass there in your final moments. You wouldn't think, okay, that's a good way to go?
No, I mean, yes, depending if I was doing a live sex show in front of people. Wait, and that's how I died. But having some huge... gross man thumb my
just
eyes
pushing
out.
Into your eyeballs just, till they reach your brain.
God, no.
Wait a minute. What if a lot of times what if I told you, you know what?
Yes.
You're not gonna, you know, go old and gray. You know, like everybody remembers Elvis as the young man. They don't remember him when he was older and overweight. They only remember him when he was young and pretty. So what if he told the Red Viper, Oberyn Martell of Dorne, what if you told him you can either die now in your prime with everybody impressed with your fighting skills, or you could end up at the Water Gardens doing two shows a night and slightly overweight.
Sexing it up with some more sand snakes.
Right.
I would take that. Sexing with the sand snakes.
What about peanut butter and snake innards sandwiches?
Oh, my God. All right, listen. Yeah. I do have, I'm gonna say it now. Okay. I do have ones that all did not make the list.
An honorable mention.
Wow.
An honorable mention. There's two things. One was the summer barbecue at the Sept of Baelor. That was a fun time was had by all. You know, it's like you want to have the fireworks when you're having a barbecue.
Yeah,
you want to celebrate. You want the whole city to feel the energy. That was one. And the second one was, and this was both an enjoyable moment. This is probably a more enjoyable moment for me as Catfish on the Joffrey podcast. Because finally, when those wonderful little urchins stabbed horrible Maester Pycelle to death, not only was it fun and overdue, but it meant that I would have to hear less of Bubba doing Maester Pycelle imitations.
Treason is treason, and that comment, wait for it, is treason.
Well, Bubba, I'm sure that your honorable mentions are not treasonous. Do you have any?
I do. So I came up with honorable mentions because I thought, well, what if people pick mine? And so I wanted to have some other ones. Mm-hmm.
And so my first honorable mention, and this is horrific, is I thought this show does have a lot of violent death. So I thought I should pick something that was horrific, that wasn't a horrible death of somebody, as a bit of a unique spin on it. So I thought one of the most horrific things was Hot Pie's terrible first attempt at making a bread shaped like a wolf. I thought that was horrific. It got a 1-star Yelp review from me. And so that was horrific, in my opinion.
Any other honorable mentions, or is it up to me?
No, we want to hear yours, Matt. You are the guiding light. You are the light at the top of the high tower.
Come on, Bubba. One more.
You can come up with one more,
Matt.
Can't you?
One more.
You know, one thing that is horrifying and horrific is the way the rich take advantage of the poor. And the class inequality. And so I thought one of the most horrific things to me, and admittedly, this is more of a show thing, but it was very horrific, the whorehouse prices that Littlefinger was charging.
man got to make a living.
No, that is price gouging.
No. Any kind of, I think we made it clear.
Clear.
No gouging. There was way too much gouging on the show. But, you know, before we go to yours, Matt, I still have to, I keep forgetting, honorable mention to Bubba for one of his choices doing a Dr. Strangelove callback. I just have to point that out.
It went over my head, as most things do. My honorable mentions.
Yeah.
So I had actually four. A couple of them were associated with the Red Wedding. I had to choose between one of the two of those. And maybe it's more heartbreaking than it is actually horrifying, but still, again, for me, it's about the psychological horror of it. Arya seeing Rob's body tied to a horse Grey Wind's head attached to that body. To me, that was horrific. And that was after all of the crap that happened in the Red Wedding episode. But it was in the finale, but it just really stuck with me. Mostly it was horrifying because it looked so fake.
you mean Arya's acting?
I mean the wolf head.
The wolf head.
And everything, everything about that.
There was famous story that when they were filming this, some of the extras had not read the book and understood what was happening in that shot. And they were like, yeah, we saw this scene where they filmed Robb Stark's body with an ox head sewn to the top of it. And it's like, that wasn't an ox.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. And my other honorable mention also comes from Hard Home, which was in my top five.
Yeah.
And this one was just the White Walkers standing on a cliff and then signaling something. And then all of a sudden, all of those whites coming, just running over the cliff. Yes. That was so zombie-esque and fast zombies. Which zombies are the fast zombies? You guys know, I don't.
It depends on if you're talking about George Romero's Zombie World or the 28 Days Later Danny Boyle.
Yeah, no, it's the 28 Days Later, Train to Busan. Those are some real fast zombies.
Yeah, they've been working out.
These whites were scampering over that cliff faster than anybody. And the reckless abandon of it. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, just getting back up and then going after the who was there from the Night's Watch and the rest of the wildlings. That moment really got me. That concludes our top five list. And we're going to keep this this succinct. We're not going to go into any other topics. I'll let you guys discuss these on another podcast that you're going to be doing. You're going to be covering Season 2 of House of the Dragon coming up in June, starting June 16th, on the Double P Media Network. So that's at the word double the letters PHQ on all the socials, and at the word double the letter P, the word media on YouTube. You folks, remember, subscribe, or I will call you a non-subscriber in all caps and with lots of exclamation points. Do it now. But people might also want to share personally with you your horrifying or their horrifying moments. So how can people reach out to you guys personally on your social medias? Catfish, let's start with you, sir.
All right. I am at GEETOTHEMANG to the man on Insta. I have quit Elon in all ways.
The site probably known as Twitter.
Yes, exactly. I'm gone from that site.
Okay.
Bubba?
Yes. Hey, we have used a lot of gallows humor in this episode, but that's kind of the way we can deal with these horrific moments. But we would love to hear your top five horrific moments. Did we make the right choices? Why were we right? Why were we wrong to pick the things we picked? You can tell me I was right or wrong on pretty much all social media at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Insta and Twitter and Blue Sky and Threads.
Oh, that's right. I'm on Blue Sky too. I completely forgot.
Do you know that address? Is it the same?
It's the same. G to the man.
Yay. At the letter B, the number four, the Dragon Pod, socials and YouTube, because unlike the Double P Media people, I know how to consolidate a name. See ya.
Oh, man.
Wow, that was horrific how you treated guests on your podcast, Matt, to say that.
We'll talk to you next time.
What are you talking about? I threatened people to subscribe to you or else.
Podcast.
I mean, I must have drummed up hundreds of new followers for you.